Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guten afternoon, everybody, and welcome to What Culture Wrestling's AEW preview. My name is Adam Cleary, filling in for every motherfucker this week, joined by Michael Sidgwick. And if you're a fan of this sort of thing, don't forget to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we review Raw, SmackDown, AEW, NXT 2.0, and there's interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. If you're wondering where this manic energy is coming from, I've just watched the Matrix film and my blood is now 400 degrees. Now, Michael Sidgwick, you made a solemn vow to me. You looked me in these deep blue eyes and you promised me,
yes,
if I could just get through the SmackDown review and the Raw preview and the Raw review and the NXT preview, and admittedly, Paula did do the NXT review. Thank you very much, Andrew. If I could just get through all of those and make it to Wednesday, and we got to do the AEW preview,
yeah,
you would be bright as a button. You would be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You would be so happy to talk to me about this wrestling product.
Yes.
Is that it?
No, I'm buzzing. Oh, I think it's a great show on paper. It's actually worth investing in the talented roster. And I've got like several ideas about how things are going to go. I've got ideas about spots that might happen in certain matches. Directions, news, like it should be class. Like
there's a song in your heart. I can hear it from here.
Weekly wrestling serotonin.
Should we get started?
Yeah, why not?
Right, I've been occupado this afternoon. You sent me a little list of the things we can expect to see. So I'm going to start where you started. You're telling me.
Yes.
You're telling me.
This is so awesome.
They're doing Charles Montgomery Punk.
Yes.
Sting, Darby Allin versus all of the initialisms in the entire company.
Yes.
That is MJF and FTR. That's a six-man tag we're going to get.
Yeah, it's a trios match, and I can't goddamn wait for it. The way AEW's booked, as we all know, they do a lot of deft dovetailing booking.
Oh, is that where that's from?
Yes.
That's very good.
And it's just, this is a wonderful example of that. The idea is that they form connections amongst various members of the professional wrestling roster with the idea that there's big matches that you want to preserve, hold off, build, deepen, enrich. MJF versus CM Punk is the big hot grudge program of the day, and they are going to tease the living hell out of their interactions in this match. MJF, I expect to be on bravura form.
Excuse me?
Bravura form.
Word of the day, toilet paper pays for itself for you now, don't it?
Why I? He's going to be in this match. Well, it was how it all came about is that obviously CM Punk debuted.
Yep.
And
I remember that one, that was good.
It was awesome. He pinpointed Darby Allin as the guy who would have been his favourite wrestler were he 14 years old. So they had a match All Out.
Again, excellent.
It was really, really very good. CM Punk has had Darby Allin's respect ever since then. Mm-hmm. They fought Garcia in 2.0 in the build. It was all about professional respect, this match, and it's been preserved indirectly in the aftermath. CM Punk and Sting together, it's just awesome. Sting, incidentally.
Such a premise, isn't it?
Sting's initial breakthrough moment in 1988 of Jesus Christ, this babyface rules and is going to be a star, was in an infamous, incredible 45-minute draw opposite Ric Flair that happened to take place in the exact same arena from which AEW Dynamite emanates tonight. So that's a lovely wrinkle of history. He's going to get an awesome reaction. It's going to make my cold heart glow warm. The fact that he's teaming with CM Punk is just ridiculous. You know the nerds who do Photoshops?
Oh, yeah,
where it's like Fatal 4-Way, Iron Man match, WrestleMania, with like everyone in kick pads who rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is that impossible, but also it's actually good.
I feel like I've never met you before, you know. Like, genuine right now, I feel like they've sat me down yes. with this other guy, yeah. and it's just...
In an additional pretty cool wrinkle to build towards this match, not including the month's worth of, like, careful build and associations, FTR attacked Sting and Darby about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, last week, that got the scores were even. CM Punk evened the odds yet further last week, went to shake Darby Allin's hand, and Darby Allin was like, he had a silent gesture as if to say, like, don't be a prick, don't be a patronizing prick, you beat me, I kind of resent you for that, but you know, enemy of my enemy is my friend, all that sort of thing. But the entire crux of the match is, what are MJF and CM Punk going to do with each other? Or more to the point, what are they not going to do? They are going to tease the living hell out of their confrontation. They might not even have one.
Yeah.
MJF's going to be a brilliant coward. CM Punk's going to, throughout, sell. He's going to wryly acknowledge, oh, he's a good little heel. He's a good little heel. Then he's going to get beaten down by FTR.
Yeah.
And they are going to work that bastard to the bone. He might get gassed, which again will further the idea that MJF reckons CM Punk spent too long on the sidelines and should can't never go. Have come back and he can't go, which is a really nice sports-oriented thread from the company that apparently doesn't do it. It's an athletic thread of storytelling. So all of this is going to be exceptional. Sting's going to be over as all hell. FTR and Darby Allin, Sting, a different combination, different order, obviously, had a match at Dynamite Grand Slam in Arthur Ashe Stadium. That was incredible, given that Sting is like 80 years old.
Yeah.
So like a better version of that incredible blowaway match that functions to tease the conflict of the year. What a wonderful early Christmas gift this will be. I expect that one of FTR will take the fall.
You mean you're telling me there was not going to be some kind of known finish here or
no.
count out?
Things
or...
matter.
Well, right, okay.
Things matter.
Always, though.
Yes, always.
That's interesting.
Mostly.
Mostly?
Yeah, they've got a bit lax this year with... There's a lot of heel heat. Yeah, you won and it wasn't a DQ and it was a pin or a submission, but it wasn't that clean. Okay. But I expect something clean. I expect one of FTR to take the fall. It's like a holiday-themed happy episode. And that will, of course... Oh yeah, happy things happen in this company as well. It's pretty awesome. That will, of course, piss MJF off to high heaven.
MJF, that'll work for me.
Yeah, he will then, having his professional pride dented.
This is I've never seen you trip over yourself. So eager are you to tell me yes. about professional wrestling?
It's just enthusiasm, so it's cool. So MJF's going to get pissed off at losing, and he's going to have his professional pride dented and challenged, and he's going to challenge CM Punk. And what I hope will be a lovely subversion of MJF's entire character, he's a manipulative guy who will always say, you have to wrestle such and such before you wrestle me. If they subvert that where CM Punk does something similar... Now that MJF really wants the match, that as the heel he's been ducking, I can't wait for this. There's so much to play with.
It's so amazing that you're talking about. This is obviously a tag team match leading to what will obviously be an exciting singles match. And not once have you said to me, well, can they coexist? That's obviously going to be the real question coming into this. Because, yeah, this is just, I should talk about what you've just said and I should delve into that and swim around in the nice pool you've set for me. But again, it's just nice to see the light in your eyes. It's really good. Also, I had to do a triple take there in the middle of that. I was just lining up my notes there to see what I was going to move on to. They're doing Adam Cole Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Right. That is the one lump of coal that I would be welcome to see this Christmas. That's a match that they're going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
So they've built it. Best friends are feuding with a super click. They've had various tags and eight-mans that have built towards a singles feud. And it's a perfect use of Adam Cole before he does genuine championship main event pay-per-view business. Mm-hmm. It's an inspired pairing because Adam Cole is great at facial expressions, selling frustration, being pissed off, in disbelief that someone could challenge his brilliance. Mm. Not least Orange Cassidy of all people outsmarting him. They've had various interactions in these tags, all of which have been tremendous. And, like, Adam Cole is going to sell the living hell out of a near fall. Not only is that face beautiful, but it's also incredibly expressive.
Oh, yes,
incredibly
yes.
animated.
Yes.
Incredibly
yes.
camera friendly.
Yes.
Like, this is going to be a genuinely class, potentially iconic match with certain spots where Adam Cole is going to do something quite horrible to Orange Cassidy, I expect. Because the best thing about AEW, playing with the comedy and the levity and the lightheartedness, there'll be some comedy in this match.
Yeah.
And at some point, the idea is Adam Cole believes himself to be the ultimate heel in this organization. He wants to kind of usurp Kenny Omega from this role in like an indirect thread that will play into his eventual return. At some point, and the best point to do it is when you have the contrast there with Orange Cassidy. Like, I want Adam Cole to like kick this kid's head in. Like, really quite hard. Adam Cole's quite sly. He's a defensive wrestler. Great at the counter. But at some point, I really want him to hurt Orange Cassidy. I want him to, like, puncture. I want to have like, the laughs. I want to have the fun.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of want him to really, like, just stamp on his head, just kick him in the balls.
Sonny D all over the mat. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, make it, get some color. Get some juice.
Some juice. This... And just the more I go through this little set of notes you've made, just the more I feel my heart swell. I think, have you deliberately ordered these in such a way that it's going to make both hope and expectation rise all the way down? Because it's kind of, just to keep having a little read of them, it's kind of how I'm feeling about this.
Yes, well, we usually just go with the big match first.
Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy, what a time to be alive. And then we've also got...
The worst thing is, and I don't really care about these people anymore, because... The whole thing with social media is, you're meant to say,
here we go.
Like, you would never, trolls would never say the things that they say online to a person in real life because they are pathetic.
Right.
I think it's time we subvert that.
Uh-huh.
I would never punch down to people with like really unfulfilled lives in real life, so I don't want to do that online anymore.
Okay.
But as a collective, there are going to be idiots who go, oh God, Adam Cole working comedy matches. He left NXT for that. Mate, he was working in front of 200 people in a dungeon in matches that you couldn't possibly chronologically list throughout 2021. You just couldn't do it. He's going to have the time of his life doing this.
Yeah.
It's a really fun way of
occupying.
Wasn't
he getting loads of stick for this Ghostbusters thing as well? And like, yeah. I watched that back and what he's doing is he's in a big arena with all of his mates getting like incredible reactions for dressing. It was Halloween as well.
It was a Halloween episode.
Dressing up for Halloween. And I just thought, What's missing in your life that you see somebody having that much fun? Like, doing... It's not like that's what he does for kids' parties now when he used to be a wrestler. He's now in a bigger wrestling organization with his best mates having a lot of fun. And I saw all the criticism of that and I just thought, what's missing from your life that you see that and you can't recognize all the telltale signs of somebody loving what they're doing?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
What's wrong with people?
Will pretend, for the sake of defending the Fed, that Adam Cole suddenly is Tomohiro Ishii.
Okay.
Who just is a...
Nice. Can I just say, met them both. Lovely guys. Yeah. Lovely guys. Very different, though.
Nice flex. People, like, automatically assume, oh, well, how can I defend the Fed? I must defend the Fed. Adam Cole is famously Bob Holly. Right? A really stoic, humorless, miserable bastard.
With his boring Twitch stream.
I mean this in the nicest possible way because I love the guy. Adam Cole's a gigantic dork.
Yeah.
Don't project different values onto him to fit your narrative. This is going to be fun. He's going to have loads of fun. It's going to be even more affecting when it turns a little bit nasty. He's going to be in the main event of a pay-per-view next year. Just enjoy life a bit more.
Yeah, like, again, and just if somebody is listening to this who they hold WWE up as the standard, look at Brian. He came back and he had a load of fun and it was really underway. He wanted to work the Miz because he had chemistry. He went back and did the team hell no.
Yes.
People were like, Daniel Bryan's coming back with his neck hanging off to do stupid tag team matches with fat Kane.
Yes, obese Kane.
And then where did he go? What did he do after that? He ended up going on one of the most seminal heel world titles you've ever seen.
So
an era-defining one, I might add. And then he went out after main event in WrestleMania again. So, like, you can't just wait a bit. You can't just let people enjoy themselves before they have to do the serious art of their craft.
Absolutely.
Not unlike, you know, not, I mean, I'm not going to be the first person to make this comparison, but me doing these podcasts. Yes. Sometimes you just got to enjoy yourself with your mates. Yes. Get to the serious business after Christmas.
People like to know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Adam Cole's going to win.
Okay. Yeah, I would buy that.
I got asked
on the news who was gonna lose first between CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Adam Cole. Which I know what my answer was. Whoever gets hooked first. That's simultaneously insightful, but also completely non-committal, which indeed. I was quite proud of. Anyway, TBS title tournament semi-final. Ruby Soho versus Nyla Rose. How's this tournament going for you?
Very well. It was a bit only okay in the first round, but I love the whole layout.
Not unlike most tournaments, I would suggest.
Indeed.
You want that real sports feel, you've got to have like crap preliminary rounds. You know, those Champions League games against Lokomotiv Plovdiv, Trabzonspor. You got to have them.
Because they do sports-oriented stories.
Exactly.
I like the make of the tournament as well. Like the four top-ranked women behind Britt Baker, who's the world women's world champion, all got a bye because everything matters.
Because they've earned that.
They've earned that through the wins that they've generated across the calendar year.
That's good.
Once you got rid of the pretty obvious losers.
Oh, can I just stop you there? That really is, that I'd love that, because not only does it then create intrigue about the preliminary matches, because there's no obvious, well, they're obviously going to go through and they're obviously going to go through. But then whoever does go through then actually goes through with momentum. They've got a good win. So you can conceivably have an upset, which isn't just an upset for the sake of an upset, but a logical upset.
It's been really well booked, this TBS title tournament.
Hey.
They've genuinely, if they could just decide for a few weeks to experiment with, let's have more than one women's match per TV broadcast, they would put so much credit in the bank, because this, while brilliant, quietly very brilliant, still just isn't enough. It isn't enough. Mm. But the tournament's been very well booked. And I really want to put over their booking individually of Nyla Rose. They are so careful. Like I would describe it as they've curated her run really quite well. She's a former champion. She's always amongst the first in line when a new champion has a defense. Mm-hmm. They've done tournaments in the past where she's either reached the final or she's either reached the semi-final. Every time they do a battle royale, she's always in the final four.
So is there or thereabouts.
She's always like a low-level threat. And they've been
she's Bayern Munich.
Yes, she is Bayern
Munich. She's always there or thereabouts.
Always there or thereabouts. And a wonderful job of just always thinking of her with the idea of we can always use this.
Yeah.
Credit in the bank. The semifinals are legitimately hard to predict. I expect Ruby Soho, because she's really pushed, to win what I expect to be a really good match as well. Mm. Nyla Rose is sorely underrated. She's worked several great TV matches across this year, but because there's so many better than great matches, like they don't really get the credit they deserve. But Nyla Rose rules. I expect her to lose, but the other one is completely wide open. Jade Cargill and Thunder Rosa. I expect Soho.
Oof, that's an oof for me, that.
Jade Cargill's been incredibly well protected throughout her run. And she's always getting TV time as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, why would you beat Thunder Rosa? And at the same time, why wouldn't you do Thunder Rosa versus Ruby Soho, particularly when they were the last two in the Casino Women's Battle Royale at All Out this year? And I thought the final 3 minutes of them two in the ring together was magic. I would replicate that magic, but I've got no idea. The only thing I'm fairly certain of is that Ruby Soho's going to win.
I'm delighted with the whole Ruby Soho thing, by the way, because obviously she came in at the exact same time as, like, right after Punk, and then she debuted the same night as Cole and Danielson debuted. And it did, like, understandably get lost in the shuffle a little bit. She was, like, the fourth biggest debut show. And come on, a fourth biggest debut. So, I mean, I thought they could have maybe waited a bit, or they could have given her a bit more of a spotlight. But it's really heartened me to see, again, just another one who's having so much fun over there, getting to put on the kind of, like, long technical matches she wasn't getting the chance to do ever since she left NXT, effectively. Yeah. It's been nice to see. And I think, I've been one of them. People have been quite vocal. You know, there's one or two elements that AEW still doesn't do to a satisfactory level, which despite, you know, you always get people going, oh, people just say this in bad faith, when that dismisses the fact it is actually a valid argument. I always thought the handling of the women's division, as you say, not giving them more than one segment to show would be nice, but it definitely does feel like this is it's on the right path now, and there's enough there's enough talent in the division, whereas previously it felt maybe a little light. We're still getting good matches, but the actual star power there, it was, you know, understandably not getting comparative TV time when they've assembled this men's division from so many different indies and other companies, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, what's the final of this tournament for you?
It has to be Thunder Rosa versus Ruby Soho. I just genuinely thought it was electrifying the last 3 minutes of that Battle Royale. But at the same time, if they do Soho versus Cargill, like, I've got no idea who wins either final in my mind, which is a testament to how carefully they've booked each woman throughout. I just would prefer to see the better match if I'm being completely blunt and honest. But at the same time, Jade Cargill being in the final would create like loads
of drama.
I love
Jade Cargill. Like, she's just like, mostly off a social media patter.
She's got class social media patter. She celebrates every move, which I think is awesome. It's like an awesome thing to do. Scott Stein needs to do it. And Jade Cargill's got an even better physique.
Yes. Speaking of, what's your segue I can do for this? Speaking of alliterative names, Griff Garrison's taking on Malakai Black as well. Yes. Celebrates every pop.
Is Jade Cargill alliterative?
No, Scott Steiner.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you see?
Yeah, good.
It was in there somewhere. Look, this is the thing, when I represent anything, it is always in there somewhere. Just sometimes the audience, or even occasionally my co-presenters, must, you just have to up your game. That's all. But Griff Garrison, Malakai Black, is there any excitement here? Or is it just something that's on the show?
I'm excited for the destination more so than the journey. Bit of context for you. Griff Garrison is part of the Varsity Blondes.
Bit of context for you. Malakai Black was Alistair Black in... Thank you very much.
Anyway, so the Varsity Blondes are just like two high school jock guys. Yeah. And they've got a cheerleader character. Malakai Black, spat black listener face.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, I did see this.
Yes.
I did see this. I saw it captioned on Twitter as a GIF, and the caption is unrepeatable on this podcast.
Razzers?
No.
Worse?
Yes, worse.
All right, cool.
Much worse. Do you not...
You tell us after.
Do you not remember there was a tweet that did the rounds and some anti-vaxxer was like, oh, my brother or somebody got the vaccine and they...
came blood and all this.
No, it came black goo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So it was along those lines. That's good. Anyway, so yeah, this match. The destination, what's that then?
Well... Varsity Blondes. Have you
got chewing gum in? There's a lovely minty. Oh no, I'm packing. I just want to know what that was.
That's my lovely breath.
Hang on. Come on, I'll join you. Hang on. People will love it.
ASMR. That's weird for me.
Really? I actually got prescribed it as an anxiety relieving thing. Because if you get away from all the saliva nonsense on it, it is actually quite therapeutic. I'm not big on it, right? But
is it to help you get to sleep, or is it just...
Just relax. It's just really nice. Like, you put white noise on in the background. Or like, if someone went home and put, like, calming ocean sounds on. It's like that, but it's just like, I don't know.
Maybe I'll try that.
No, I don't mind it.
Prone to the old anxiety.
I think it's due a moment in the spotlight where it gets normalised ever so slightly. Like, right now, the work...
It feels a bit perverted from where
it does. Because it gets...
Some last breathing in you.
Yeah. Understandably, people will look at that and be like, right. And don't get me wrong. I would imagine the vast majority of the people who enjoy it
are jerking off.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, saliva nonsense. They're absolutely dreadful. But it is not without its therapeutic qualities. Oh, and I just think it's probably due a moment in the spotlight where it is slightly normalised.
Yeah.
Much in the same way that I'm very grateful for the work Henry Cavill is currently doing in making sure that there is at least another incredibly fit, attractive, and funny man who plays Warhammer 40,000. So he's really, really helping out a lot of... A lot of people just like
such a knob. Anyway.
If you're listening, Henry, yes, I will play you. All my stuff's downstairs if you want to see it.
So there's two of their Varsity Blondes and there's one of Malachi Black's. So what's he doing feuding with a tag team? This match, I don't expect to be like a blowaway Grace TV match. I expect it to be one of the... I'm kind of worried it's going to be one of those... Here's something from me mam, right? When she doesn't like something, but she's not offended by it, is an old Geordie former landlady. It's either nout or summit that.
It's either nout or summit that.
Either nout or summit. I'm kind of worried this is going to be either nout or summit. Either Malachi Black kills a guy, or they work a really super competitive 12-minute awesome match, which I just can't see. Griff Garrison's good, but he's not that good yet. Or it's going to be like 6 minutes of... kind of sludgy back and forth where they try and give Griff too much, which I expect they will because this is leading to another match between the Varsity Blondes, Malachi Black, and the new debutante he teased last week named Brody King, who is going to join either a stable or a tag team named the House of Black. I expect it to be a tag team for now. House of Black versus Varsity Blondes will spin off the back of this match and you will establish a brand new heel tag team who theoretically could challenge the Lucha Bros.
Oh.
Lucha Bros versus Malachi Black and Brody King would be awesome.
That was rule.
Because the idea of Phoenix doing incredible Phoenix things and then Brody King, who's got no right to do high-flying stuff, doing that back to him, it could be all kinds of tits. Like Total Recall tits, three tits at once. But this actual match...
What have you been feeding that thing? Varsity Blondes?
This match could be the Nauta Summit.
Right, well, speaking of now or summit, I think I know what this one's going to be. Tony and Britt, Christmas party. What's happening here?
Well, I love these two together.
Oh, hang on. Well, the mood just dipped. I thought this would be a massive popper. Oh, no.
Well, I'm a consistent, unbiased critic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Usually these two have wonderful comedic chemistry.
Incredible chemistry, yeah.
The class, like the soul of a bull. And
so they've sold me on the fact something might be going on, which is probably the biggest like swerve I've ever seen in wrestling. False finish, if you will.
It goes with the contrast of what I was talking about with Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy, where it's all very wholesome, it's very nice. It's this like platonic friendship that just, for once, you can believe that Tony Schiavone isn't like doing things in his bathroom that he shouldn't be doing.
Right.
But when Britt Baker decides to be a prick to him, it's like, oh, don't, man. It's Tony Schiavone. So it works on both of those levels. Like, it's class. It makes you resent her, which is hard to do because she's such so a good, goddamn star. The issue is that they had a prior holiday-themed segment not too long ago during Thanksgiving, and they just sat at this, like, fake table with some food. A rubbish segment where Tony was like, oh, by the way, I spoke with Tony Khan and you got a match on Friday. And she kicked off because she didn't want a match because she's a heel wrestler who doesn't want to wrestle. That's so WWE. So Britt Baker's got a scheduled match with Riho upcoming, I believe, a Battle of the Belts. I'm honestly expecting.
I had that in the news. I put that in the news.
Yes.
Or did I? I think I meant to put it in the news and then didn't. So here it is.
Here it is.
Britt Baker versus Riho, Battle of the Belts. News. Tony Khan talked about it on CBS.
So. My worry is that they are going to do some kind of rubbish food-based prop comedy flung from Riho's hands into Britt Baker's face in the absence of telling an actual emotionally intense story featuring a Japanese talent, at which AEW still struggles to do. They are not very good at actually telling stories or working around the fact that certain push stars or really great talents don't speak English fluently or as their first language, and it's just not on. It isn't on. Like, AEW should be the standard bearer for episodic TV. They should be able to tell stories, creative stories, working around the fact that these performers don't necessarily fit the mold of US TV. Guess what? They are so great, you should break the mold of US TV. I'm expecting, either stuffing in your face. Do you want stuffing? Like Rio's not going to say that.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was from the Wirral.
Yeah. Or they could go, you know, the Friends gag where Joey Tribbiani's got the turkey on his head.
Yeah.
Britt Baker could sell a hell out of that.
You think Britt Baker's going to put a turkey on her head?
No, I think Riho, being the babyface,
will put the turkey
on.
He's going
to put the turkey on Britt Baker's head, and Britt Baker could do a wonderful freak out, walk into a wall, and actually get it over. So I'm kind of convincing myself that this could be good. That would be pretty cool. That'd be funny.
I wasn't sold on that at all until he said walk into the wall.
Yes. It's great at slapstick, like, I'd be pissed off if I don't see that now. If they just do some, like, rubbish, like, stuff and stuff. Oh, what does Americans eat at Christmas, actually?
Oh, I'll be stuffing on out this one, wouldn't it?
What's the thing they call,
Yams!
Yams!
You want yams?
Yams in your face?
Well, they're a Thanksgiving thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Do they eat a Christmas ham?
Christmas ham? Is that a gammon joint? Oh, God, did you see I made cottage pie last night? Oh, my God, the Americans on me replies.
What were they like?
Oh, my God, right. It's a twofold, this story. Yeah. So I made cottage pie. I really fancied a cottage pie. I've been fancied a cottage pie. We went and got the ingredients, made cottage pie. Went in. I was splitting an egg. Got in, knackered. All this extra bloody film and all these podcasts. Talking so much. Splitting an egg. Cottage pie sort us out. Became apparent quite early on in this cottage pie that I was looking into the face of God itself. Right, it was, everything was coming together.
Yes.
Everything was coming together. The little Worcester sauce I put in is a little thing, was slightly off. It was slightly on the turn, but so as to, like, you know when wine goes on the turn, or vinegar, and it just goes, it gets a little extra kick right
deeper.
Before it's ruined. Yeah, it's deeper. I was like, this is perfect, this now. Got it all there, mash on the top, mustard, you put mustard in your mash? If you listen to this and you don't put a scoop of whole grain mustard in your mashed potato, change that immediately.
I'm more of a garlic mash guy, but I can...
Garlic
I
mash
can,
also nice.
I can vibe, I can never, vibe with mustard mash.
I've never had whole grain mustard mash until recently. My mum made it for me, and she was like, try this. I was like, oh my God. So amazing mash, and so I put it on. Stuck it on Instagram. Like, oh, here's my sob story about tired and stressed, blah, blah, blah. But I've made cottage pie. But the picture was like a scoop from the thing. So you could see the layer of mash.
Yes.
You could see the mint. You could see the vegetables, everything. The Americans started being like, what is this? What the... is cottage pie, dude. And I was just like, how are you?
You've gone coast to coast on that impression, by the way.
Honestly, there were so many of them, and I was just like, oh, I'm not having this. So I said something disparaging, like, look, lads, it's just wholesome comfort food. It's not my fault it's not on the menu at bloody Wendy's, is it, right? Just let me live. And then I load them laughing, be like, oh, yeah, we're not all like that, blah, blah, blah. But then the second wave, which was my favorite thing, a load of them were like, oh, actually, off that description, we do have that in America, but we call it shepherd's pie. And I didn't reply.
Delete the app.
I didn't reply. It was a single one of them, but I just sat there like, oh, it's the two different things, yeah, man.
Delete the app.
Shepherd's pie. If you're sitting there at home and you're thinking, wait, what's it? Shepherd's pie is lamb, hence why it's called shepherd's pie. Cottage pie is made from bricks, hence why it's called cottage pie. So anyway, it's really I've got loads of leftovers. If you're in tomorrow, you're still in the rest of the week. Is you done?
I am.
I'll bring some if you want some cottage pie. Very nice. Anyway, what we're talking about? Oh yeah, Britt Baker's walking into a wall. We think agreed. Right. Further details announced for the Owen. What do we know so far? Fill me in.
There are going to be two tournaments happening in parallel: men's and a women's tournament. And you know what? I got sidetracked there. There's going to have to be a reckoning with the men's and women's division, because what happens if someone who doesn't identify as like says wants to be a wrestler? This is something they're genuinely going to have, but like
it's going to come up eventually.
You don't want intergender wrestling. I'm concerned about this. I really hope that AEW leads the charge if in fact the situation arises. But regardless, that's a very weighty topic for another day. It's kind of bubbles into my head sometimes.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. I'd like it to be really more inclusive.
Could just make it like, and this is not me trying to do a pun, you could just make it more fluid. Like, you know, I'm going to do intergender wrestling as a concept, but
yes,
they can just work with whoever feels right to work them with.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out eventually, hopefully.
I genuinely hope we do. Regardless, the Owen, two separate tournaments, and I don't know if the format, it's Christmas, I'm very busy. I don't know if the actual format has been announced yet. I don't know if it's single elimination. I know that myself included, alongside fellow New Japan nerds, want it to be a round robin, G1 like, climax style. They make maths fun. I hate maths. I'm an idiot at maths. I should probably retire by now. My old teacher, who I won't name, kind of did my coursework with me because she took a liking to me.
That's nice.
In GCSE.
No, okay. Yeah. I just made an obscene gesture just to check something. He answered in the negative.
Yeah. But they make maths fun. I would love to do some maths in wrestling in America. So I don't know if that's the case. All I know is that, for me, there is one winner.
Of the Owen.
In the men's, at least I've got that nailed down. I think it needs to be Jungle Boy.
Oh, I was going to say Bryan Danielson. I always think of him when I think of Owen Hart.
Given the circumstances, I mean, he'd be a great winner. Given the circumstances of the actual tournament and the man in whom it's an honour of, he can't possibly have a heel win it. Can't possibly do that.
It's true.
So it kind of has to be a babyface tradition to give the really nice babyface who isn't in the title picture necessarily, but you want to do something with him, win the Owen.
See, this is one of my big hopes for AEW when it launched. There's several formats that WWE didn't do purely because they had just decided to take a disliking to them. And on the rare occasions they do bring them back in some hollow capacity, they try and make you stop liking the original version.
Yes.
Of it. Now, I loved, when I was growing up, King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. When I used to play career mode on all the WWF games, I was not bothered about winning the WWF Championship. I was not bothered about winning the Royal Rumble. I always wanted to win King of the Ring. And if I won that, that was, to me, that was my career arc. I always wanted to win that. And it enrages me that it's never successfully been brought back, because there is no bad way to do it. WWE just hate it because you can't 50-50 book someone in a protracted tournament. Yes. You have to be decisive with it. One of the major things I hope with AEW was that would be one of the major things. They wouldn't just do King of the Ring, you know, in the same way they've tried to put their own spin on the Battle Royale to make it not sucks. The Royal Rumble. It doesn't work. But a tournament format like that. Now, you've said they could do something like the G1. You could do men's block, women's block, and then, hey, I don't know, go crazy. Have the winners of both face each other. I think that'd be cool.
Tony Khan hates the idea.
Well, I should have jumped in before. I actually quite like it. I think it's just because I've been to a lot of indie shows.
Yes.
I've seen quite a lot of intergender stuff, and it never doesn't work for me. I think it's got to be the right two people. You can't do it ridiculously, but you have to apply that logic when you're booking two men or two women by the same token. I think that would be fun. Are you telling me, conceivably, if they did that, you would not want to see, let's say next year or the year after, you wouldn't want to see the final of the Owen, the winner of the men's block, Adam Cole, versus the winner of the women's block, Britt Baker?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you telling me you wouldn't want to see that?
Oh, my God. That's amazing. It's not completely off the table, I don't think. As far as I understand it, Kenny Omega is desperate to make it happen because he knows how brilliant it can be as a medium. But Tony Khan, obviously with TNT, looking at the whole operation.
Yeah, I get it's a difficult sell for television.
Kenny Omega is so amazing at it as well. He had a match. It was Kenny Omega, and I can't remember who the exact opponents were, but it was Omega, Nakazawa, and I think it was Riho and Sakazaki. And the idea was Kenny Omega started wrestling I can't remember which way around it was, and he was very respectful, hold for hold, no striking, the most gentle bumps possible, right? Nakazawa tags in. Does the exact same thing. He's like feigning the whole respectful. I'm going to be respectful. Just clocked her in the face. But then you got the reckoning at the end. It's just this wonderful thing.
This is immediately, just thinking about that, there's like Omega versus Rio was a match I think they could actually make work, and I would watch that. I think Danielson versus Cargill. Like, that would work. I can see your eyes lighting up with this. I don't get me wrong. And we're wildly speculating here. This is not at all what they've talked about as far as we're aware. But I just think if you want to do a twist on a classic, doing the big math style G1 thing in a tournament format and then having an intergender winner takes all match, I think that'd be cool, personally. But we're getting more details announced tonight. Any speculation on what those details are?
I'm assuming
it's going to be an intergender new G1 block.
I'm assuming they are going to simply announce the format if it hasn't been. I'm sure I've read single elimination somewhere. And if not, guess what? If the Premier League is any indication and America's like in a 1 month delay from our Omicron stuff, it's a good job Tony Khan can book with his back against the wall, because every card in January in America was pretty much going to be screwed.
Yeah.
Regardless, I just think it's going to be competitors.
Good job that traditionally in pro wrestling in January, there's not some kind of match format that requires the simultaneous ring sharing of the 30
Christ.
Individuals.
Oh, I hadn't thought about
Nothing coming to mind off the top of my head. Oh, sure, it'll be fine, whatever it is. Tony Khan's got a huge announcement. Do you think, is this what this is? Or
well, I don't know if it's in relation, because there's separate social media posts. Tony Khan's got previous with all caps, huge news. Sometimes it's legitimately huge. Sometimes it's like a really fun trios match. Which is like, when people say huge news, right?
Yeah.
They're expecting, all right, well, I wouldn't consider this huge. I would consider this depressing. Wyndham Rotunda's coming. Or something like that.
Yeah, go all right. These people who really, you know, hype up news for interaction and engagement.
But if I'm going to do an exercise in connecting the dots here,
down the line now.
He's promised huge news on a social media post. Last week on Dynamite, the Young Bucks and Adam Cole were in a segment where Adam Cole said, "I've got you something for Christmas."
Oh, how about this? Is it the greatest Christmas present?
The greatest Christmas present. The greatest Christmas present ever, or something to that effect.
So you think he's going to unveil, they've got a PS5?
A PS5.
Yeah,
those cool. Those nerds will 1,000,000% have one already.
That's very true.
But it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly is going to be the huge news, and it's going to be great because the Young Bucks are going to be like, ah, thanks, but what you've done here is, in effect, is just given yourself and your old NXT mates, a great tag team who we are in competition with on the way to the titles. And they are going to very slowly build in. Imagine this in October 2019, right?
Okay.
You get to December 2021.
Okay.
The idea is, when Kenny Omega returns from injury, you're going to get in AEW in very early 2022 or mid-2022 at the latest, Undisputed Era versus the Elite. Like the nerds who do these Photoshop thumbs going, oh, wouldn't that be cool? It's like, yeah, don't be a dog, it's not going to happen. Touch grass.
And
it's happening!
It's happening, they're actually going to get that.
I expect the huge news to either the scale is Kyle O'Reilly debuts or more details on the own, which you kind of knew already.
Just to quickly circle back here, so you're saying that a potential introduction of Kyle O'Reilly to the, I believe it's the Super Click they're going by at the minute.
Yes.
To the introduction of Kyle O'Reilly to that would lend itself to the question, can they possibly coexist?
Oh, you've really prick.
And on that note, that is our AEW preview. Excited for a night? Look forward to it?
Yeah, really am. Weekly wrestling serotonin.
We shall be back tomorrow to talk all about it. Hopefully you will join us for that. But if you've been a fan of this sort of thing, don't forget to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. That's none of my business for daily wrestling podcasts. We review Raw, we review SmackDown, everything in between, NXT, AEW 2.0. Got the wrong way around, but you know the gist. Interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture Card, subject to change. But in the meantime, Michael Sidgwick, where can they get you on Twitter?
At M Sidgwick.
Get me at Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y. The entire What Culture Wrestling family at your disposal at What Culture WWE. But like I said, until tomorrow, this has been the NXAW preview.
Well, it is, because the Undisputed Era and the Elite are now on the same promotion. That's, so you did it on purpose.
Thank you. See what I mean? It's always there. You just have to get up to that level.
Yeah.
And if you have, then we'll see you soon. Goodbye. Oh, it's been a long week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.